Hi guys, and welcome to episode 14 of the Training Tidbits podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Cartledge, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us today. As always, we are going to be discussing best practice methodology with regards to animal training and the behavior management of animals in your care. To help us do this, we are going to be bringing another positive reinforcement practitioner and Animal Training Academy member onto the show for you today. I'm excited because we are traveling halfway around the globe. From here in New Zealand. We're going all the way to France to chat with Lisa Longo, founder of the French-based animal training venture, Animal Academy. Before I formally introduce Lisa though, I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of background information on her and her behavior odyssey. Lisa is an animal behavior specialist and, as mentioned, the founder of Animal Academy. She started her odyssey by attending numerous conferences, which led her to partake in some of the industry's leading opportunities. Lisa has completed her LLA, or Living and Learning with Animals certification, with Dr. Susan Friedman, and partook in the contemporary animal training and experience seminars and workshops with Steve Martin and his company Natural Encounters in Orlando, Florida, as well as being a member of IATA, or the International Association of Avian Trainers and Educators. Lisa had an amazing opportunity to work in the parrot show at one of the largest zoos in France, Zoo Zoo d'Amneville, and in this role got an opportunity to work with and pass on her knowledge about the benefits of using positive reinforcement to her colleagues. Lisa's passion has always been to help pets flourish with their human companions, which is why she started Animal Academy. And in this role, she visits people's homes to help them form cooperative relationships with their pets. Lisa's particular passion for working with parrots led her to publish a book in June of this year titled The Pet Parrot's Guide, which covers a wide range of information for both novices and more experienced people to once again learn how to live cooperatively with their animals. Lisa currently shares her home with a Czechoslovakian wolf dog, a Red Lord Amazon parrot, a blue and gold macaw, and a Gottingen pig. It's my very special privilege to welcome you to the show this morning, Lisa Longo. How are you?
Hello, Ryan, and hello to everybody listening. It's a real pleasure for me to be here with you today, talking about ways to help people use positive reinforcement. I will also like to apologize for my very terrific accent. I'm sorry. And also, I just want to thank you very much for your generosity.
Oh, you're very welcome. And Lisa, it's my absolute pleasure to have you here with us today. The pleasure is all mine. We'll dive straight in today, Lisa, and go straight into our first question. Lisa, can you take us back to where you first learned about positive reinforcement, ABA, or applied behavior analysis, and some of the first animals you ever trained using it?
Actually, when I was very young, around 10 years old, I was already practicing using positive reinforcement with my first dog, a German Shepherd. I didn't realize I was using it at the time, but it was the premise of my training career. But I really fell into positive reinforcement and applied behavior analysis during a conference in Montreal a few years ago. Susan Friedman was the guest speaker, and an intervention really changed my life. I felt in love with all she was saying. So I decided to learn more about ABA and took the LLA course. From that moment, I completely changed my method with my own pets. Even if I was using the basic of positive reinforcement with them, I realized that positive reinforcement was much more than just, okay, you do that, I give you a treat. My session training was so much easier for my pet, for me, and so much more fun too. So when I went to Natural Encounters, it helped me confirm everything that Susan was teaching me. I have not trained many animals, and I have not encountered any failures using these techniques. I even trained a big lizard at the zoo. Everybody thinks that reptiles are just stupid, but this is far from reality. ABA teaches us that we have three things to remember about how all behavior of all living species works. Number one, behavior is what an individual does under environmental conditions that we can observe. Number two, behaviors are always a function. Any individual behaves for a purpose. Number three, a behavior never occurs alone. There is always something happening before we behave, which induces it, and always a consequence, which is the behavior's purpose. If the consequence of a behavior is valuable for the individual, then it will just offer this behavior again. And if the behavior isn't valuable, the individual will just change their behavior. There is sometimes a misunderstanding with positive reinforcement. To be exact, it is essential to remember that in ABA, the words positive and negative have a significant mathematic. Positive means that something is adding in the environment, and negative means that something is removed from the environment. There is no place for value judgment in this world. Reinforcement is used to help increasing a behavior. That means that sometimes yelling after your pet can be a positive reinforcement if the behavior still occurs after your interval. Getting back to my big lizard at the zoo, he was always alone in this terrarium, and his zookeepers had no idea of how to do something funny with him. They felt, like many people, that reptile didn't have an interest for nothing. We decided to try to begin a little training with him and chosen a primary reinforcer that he had not in his everyday diet. We chose baby rats. We started to train the target stick, and after only 5 minutes, he followed the target stick wherever we pointed it. His keepers realized that he was finally like all living species. He was behaving for a purpose. Suddenly, they had a lot of funny ideas for training him, like scratching his back with the hand. I really invite all listeners to see some goldfish training video to realize that absolutely all living species can be educated with good and positive methods.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for that, Lisa. And yeah, it's a definite good point to watch those goldfish training videos. I know Susan Friedman showed them to us in the LLA course, and they definitely opened my eyes at the time when I was a young trainer. So it was really great to learn more about where you came from and the learning journey you have been on. I really appreciate you sharing that with everyone. Lisa, I was wondering now if we could talk a little bit about your book that you have published, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes as well so people can check it out. But can you tell us about the book, why you wrote it, what the experience has been like, and what the feedback has been like?
You maybe won't believe me, but at the beginning, I just wanted to write 2 or 3 sentences for people who register on Parrots Forum on the web. And after 2 or 3 days, I already had something like 20 pages. And 1 week after, it was 50 pages. So I said to myself that maybe it could be a good thing for French people to have an everyday guide on how to live with a parrot. I think this is pretty much the same all around the world. Parrots are about sometimes without thinking of their need. Nothing similar was published in France, so I took the job. But it was not an easy job because I really wanted to talk about a wide range of topics and answer all the questions a parrot owner might be asking themselves. I even had the chance to work with an avian vet for the health chapter. It took me about 1 year to accomplish it, and I had 2 giant reinforcers for doing it. The first one, Susan Friedman, liked it and wrote the preface. It was such important for me to have Susan reading it that I translated the entire book in English just for opinion and advice. The second one, people's feedback is excellent. It seems that the guide is helping a lot of parrots and humans. When I sent my work to the publisher, I was saying to myself that if this book could add just 1 human parrot relationship, it would have been like I won a treasure. Finally, it helps a lot more parrots and humans, so it's like all these individual people and parrots are winning treasure, and that's some good reinforcement.
Treasure is good reinforcement. Sounds really great, Lisa, and what a fantastic accomplishment to get a book like that published. And I'm sure everyone really appreciates you putting the time into that book and making it happen. Another interesting thing that you have done, or should I say are doing, is getting ready to sit the IATCB exam this coming October. Can you tell everyone listening a little bit more about this and about your experience preparing for this?
Well, I am so happy that October is coming soon, but so much anxious too. My only reading since 6 months are to prepare this exam. To help listeners understand what it is, the International Avian Trainers Certification Board exam is designed for all avian professionals all around the world and gives you the title of Certificate Professional Board Trainer. The topics discussed in the 200 questions of the exam are from learning principle through enrichment to education and ethic. It's not only good for the professional credibility, but also it is really important to recognize your own skills. This is not my first exam and won't be the last, but being passionate about birds, this one is the most important for me. You know, Ryan, we cannot be good teachers if we are not good learners, right? If I get certified, I will be the very first one in France. And as we are a bit late with the use of positive reinforcement here, it will be an honor to be a kind of ambassador of it here in France. People have to stop looking at positive reinforcement practitioners like utopian which can only have a good pet if they give them a treat. Cannot imagine how many times I heard that people have to punish and portray their pets to show them who's the boss. It is in a lot of conventional minds. From young ages at school, reinforcement is forgotten, but punishment is just a normal way to educate children. So please cross your fingers for me, because it's time for France to change their mind.
Sounds very inspirational, and it's so cool that you're going through all these different qualifications and getting certified, and really interesting learning about the process. Thanks for sharing that, Lisa. I was wondering now if we could talk a little bit more about some specific stories that stick out in your mind from all of your experience training animals, and if you could possibly share some lessons that you've learned along the way.
The first things that comes into my mind is a training I did with macaws at the zoo. I wanted to teach them being restrained willingly in a towel. Seven macaws, seven different individuals, seven different characters, seven different relationships with me, and seven different reinforcements to find. It went very well for six of them. After writing the shaping plan with my colleague, I started the training, and the best reinforcers for all of the six was a primary reinforcer. And after only two or three training sessions of 15 minutes, all of them went willingly in the towel. It wasn't the same for Araco, a Harlequin macaw. I tried every primary reinforcer possible. None of these had an influence. I tried a favorite toys, but it didn't create motivation neither. So I stopped and started thinking. Araco and my colleague worked together since almost 20 years. He had a very wide historic of reinforcement with her, and they really loved each other. So I asked him to scratch Araco's head after each step of our shaping plan, and we very quickly realized that my colleague was her best reinforcer. She went into the towel even faster than the six other macaws. The behavior of an individual is always a study of one, right?
Yes.
Talking about the study of one, here's a funny story. A client called me for a pug dog that stopped drinking water in his bowl suddenly. He drank water outside on the terrace, on other bowls in the house, but no more in his own bowl where he drank without any problem before. Very strange situation. After almost 1 hour talking with the dog owner, he realized that he bought 2 days ago a new trash can. We just moved the trash can just 1 meter away, and the dog came and drank in the bowl. And if you have enough time, I have a third story about lesson of positive reinforcement, a human parrot story. I live with my fiancé and our animals since 10 years, and he never wanted to train and educate our pets. I thought about a way to motivate him to get involved with our pets training. Each time he goes to work, before leaving, he says, "Bye, Luna," to our blue and gold macaw, and makes the gesture bye with his hand. I trained Luna to make a wave with her paw when I pronounced the cue "Bye, Luna." And she did it to my boyfriend 2 or 3 days after, before he was leaving for work, when he cued her with his "Bye, Luna." He was so excited, and when I explained him how it was possible to do that, he started training our pets. Each time he had a success, he was reinforced.
These stories are great and such fantastic lessons. Thank you for sharing those, Lisa. I'm sure the audience can really benefit from those. So, hey, we're nearly at the end now, Lisa. But just one more question before we finish. And this time I want to look into the future. Can you share with the audience what you would like to see happen in the next 5 to 10 years with animal training?
I really dream that people in France and all around the world, of course, finally flew the old ideas that an animal have to be dominated by humans to make them understand who is the master, who is the boss. There is a lack of information about positive reinforcement here, and it's a lot worse about applied behavior analysis. We can see positive punishment and negative reinforcement on every street corner. You know, some months ago, I published an article about positive reinforcement, and I had an incredible answer, which was, positive reinforcement is a trend that will pass. It's not possible to teach obedience with that. This person and all of those who thought the same declined the debate. So our mission should be educating people before educating pets. Also, in 10 years, the students of 10 years old that I see during my classroom workshops will be 20. And I'm very optimistic that they will become the new generation of good trainers and educators using positive methods. Children of today are the guarantors of the animal respect of tomorrow. tomorrow. I hope so.
Hey, awesome. Thank you so much for that, Lisa. I love it. Children of today are the guarantors of the animal respect of tomorrow. So great. And let's hope these things come true. I totally agree with you that in a lot of cases, we have to teach the people before we teach the animals. And there were so many gems in this podcast today. And it's so great to get you on here, Lisa. It's been a lot of fun. And for those listening, if you're new to animal training, or if you don't really know where to start, or if you've been in the game for years, I hope you were inspired today, entertained, and hopefully educated as well. This podcast episode adds to the growing resources available on animaltrainingacademy.com. One of the missions of Animal Training Academy is to be able to provide to the community a collection of resources demonstrating positive reinforcement and applied behavior analysis used across a huge array of different species, and also that people using these techniques span the planet, as we learned from Lisa Longo using the exact same methods as me on different sides of the globe. Hey, if you haven't listened to the other episodes, then you can check them out on animaltrainingacademy.com, or they are also on iTunes as well. So you can check them out here. So head on over and dive in. Like I said, this is episode 14. So there is a lot to sink your teeth into. Also available on the website is the free 15 lesson training tidbits online course. This is my labor of love to you guys. So when you register to become a member, you get that course for free. It's got videos, written content, quizzes, audio, and more. And it's constantly growing. Yesterday, I did my first ever Facebook Live video as well. So you can check that out on the Facebook page. And I'll be doing lots more of these moving forward, where I'll be training live on camera for you guys. They are going to be so much fun. And to see those, you just got to visit Animal Training Academy on Facebook and like the Facebook page, and you'll get those in your newsfeed. One more thing, and this is my favorite. I absolutely love doing this. I've been hosting a lot of live free web classes or webinars or online lessons, whatever you want to call them. At the time of recording this podcast, I'm not 100% sure what the exact date of the next one is, but I'll put a note in the show notes on animaltrainingacademy.com, so you can register by clicking on that link. People are loving them, and sometimes I nearly get as many return attendees as brand new ones, which is just so exciting for me. It's good feedback, it's good reinforcement. So thank you all for your support, and the podcast are fast approaching 4,000 downloads on the website, which far exceeds my expectations. So I really appreciate, like I said, all of your support. As always, I'd love to hear from you guys. Let me know if you liked this episode, if you didn't like this episode, what you liked, what you want to learn more about, who you want to hear on this podcast, and anything else you want to say. Let us know what part of the world you're from. Someone told me the other day that they listen to this podcast as they ride to work in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. And I love hearing stories like this. It's my reinforcement, so to speak. But anyway, that's it from us today. Thanks for listening. Thanks again, Lisa. And you'll be hearing from me again soon. Cheers. Ciao.
Thanks again, Ryan. And goodbye to everyone.